sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
Well, I'm glad that 1 John 1:7 says that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that's God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 11, the Word of God said, the Son of Man came into the world to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man came into the world to save that which was lost. Not only did He come into the world to save that which was lost, but Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. And 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus came into the world, Paul said, to save sinners. Jesus came and He said Himself in Matthew 18:11, the Son of Man is come into the world to save that which was lost. He is come into the world to save that which was lost. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into the world to save that which is lost. But I say with a sad note today, that some of you that are listening to me today, one day, like the rich man in Luke 16, it's going to lift your eyes in a Christless hell. I know that most people say lifted, but the Word of God says that He lift, L-I-F-T, present tense. He, 2,000 years ago, the rich man died and was buried, and the Bible said in hell He lift His eyes. That means it's present tense. He's still there today. But Jesus is still passing by. He's still extending mercy today. He came into this world to save sinners, and He's still passing by. He came into the world, neighbor, not only to save sinners, but to seek and to save that which was lost. Now I'm glad that Jesus came, and He sought me out, and He saved me. I'm glad that Jesus came into this low land of sin and sorrow and found a low down sinner like me. And He told me that if I'd repent of my sin and by faith reach out and trust Him as my personal Lord and Savior, that He'd save my poor wretched soul and give me a new life. I'm glad of that today. But neighbor, the Word of God said in Genesis chapter number 6, even though that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, even though that Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost, there's some of you today that Jesus passed by. He passed by your house. He passed by your bedside. He passed by your supper table. He passed by your living room couch. He passed by as you were reclining in your recliner. He passed by as you were going down the road, and he convicted you of your sin, and He gripped your heart and told you that you was a Savior, that you was a sinner, and that you needed a Savior, and that you needed to be saved, and you put off the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 3, the Bible said, and the Lord said, I didn't say it. Moses didn't say it. Elijah didn't say it. Solomon didn't say it. David didn't say it. Paul didn't say it. Peter didn't say it. John didn't say it. But the Lord, the Bible says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Let me read that one more time. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for the opportunity, Lord, to bow unworthy heads before you this side of eternity, knowing and realizing, Lord, that you have sent the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God to a lost and dying world. There are many people that have heard the word, and they've turned a deaf ear to the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to the heart of every listener that's listening to this message today. Father, I pray that you'd tender their heart, bring them to an altar of repentance, Lord, that they might by faith reach out and trust you as their personal Lord and Savior. Ask, dear Lord, that you'd send the liberty and the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God and do it again. Lord, may we be able, Lord, to preach. And Lord, that you'd send the liberty that's needful. Lord, that we might be able to feed that precious lost soul the word of God that he or she needs today. Father, I pray that you'd boost up the power on this radio station today. May it go out further than it normally will. Lord, that it'll go out 30, 40, 60, 100 fold. And it'll accomplish what you please today. Father, ask thy blessings upon your word today. For it's in Jesus' name we do try to pray and ask it. Amen. And amen. Bible said here in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know what that means? That simply means that there's coming a time when Almighty God gonna look down from the portals of glory, and God's gonna say, that's it. That's it. I'm done with it. I've had it. That's enough. God's gonna say, I've convicted you my last time. God's gonna say, I've called upon you my last time. God's gonna say, it's enough. You know what that means, neighbor? That means I don't care how much you cry out to God. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you repent. I don't care how much you call on God. You're not going to change God's mind. Not one iota are you ever going to change God's mind. In Hebrews chapter number 12 and verses number 16 and 17, the word of God, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. But get what verse number 17 says. For we know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Neighbor, this man called Esau came into the field one day and he was hungry. Or out of the woods one day and he had been hunting and he was hungry. And he came and he smelled the pottage or the soup or the chili or whatever, the venison, whatever, while his brother was cooking there. And he smelt it and he's hungry. And he said, just give me something to eat. And you know what Jacob said, if you'll just give me your birthright, I'll give it to you. He said, well, it don't matter. I'm either going to lose my birthright or I'm going to die either one. So it really doesn't matter. And he gave up his birthright. Not only did he give up his birthright, but the Bible said, for you know that afterward when he would have inherited the blessing, There was a time that Esau came unto his father's bedside when his dad was fixing to pass off and make the crossing, fixing to slip off into eternity. Esau knew that it was time for his blessing. But instead of coming to his father and saying, I've sold my birthright. I've sold my birthright. I've sold my birthright. Instead of he being having a repentant heart and coming to his dad long time before this, he waited until it was too late, and when he would have inherited the blessing, the Bible said, the Word of God says, he was rejected out of his blessing, and for he found no place of repentance. You know what that means when he said he found no place of repentance? That means he could not change his father's mind. He could not change his father's mind. And neighbor, listen. Whenever God says it's enough, when God says I'm not going to strive with you anymore, when God says I'm not going to convict you anymore, I won't serve notice on you today that you're not going to change God's mind. When God makes up his mind and his mind is set, and when God says, I'm not going to strive with you anymore, I'm not going to convict you anymore, you can beg and plead and cry and find a place of repentance as Esau did. But the Bible said, though he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Oh, Esau was so sorry. Esau was so sorry for that which he did. You may not be sorry today. Let me serve notice on you. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, Apostle Paul said, we then as workers together with him beseech ye that ye also that ye also receive not the grace of God in vain. We then as workers together with him beseech ye also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, or helped thee, or give thee aid. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. To put that in old-fashioned southern language, folk, you know what the Word of God's saying? He said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I give thee help, or have I secured thee. But hold, looky here, behold, that word behold simply means looky here. Now is the accepted time. Looky here, behold, now is present tense the day of salvation. Neighbor, if you're listening to me today and the Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart and you feel like that your heart's about to pump and jump out of your chest, neighbor, that's not heart trouble. That's not heart disease. You're not having a physical heart attack, but you're having a spiritual heart attack because God's attacking your spiritual heart, and he's convicting you, and he's drawing you to an altar repentance today. But the Bible said that Esau, I was rejected of that which he wanted from God, from his father. Neighbor, there's coming a day when God's not always going to strive with you, and Almighty God's going to look down from the portals of glory, and he's going to look at the life that you've lived and the life that you've led. And the Bible said here, don't receive this grace of God in vain. We then as workers together with him beseech ye that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. He's still passing by. He's passing by your automobile today as you're riding down the road. Pull over on the side of the road and bow your head and repent of your sin and by faith reach out and trust him as your personal Lord and Savior. Neighbor, maybe you're still laying in the bed. Just lift your hands toward God and say, Lord, I'm a wretched, vile sinner, and if I die, I deserve a place called hell. But you died on, you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary to save me of my sin and to secure me a home in glory. And I want you to come into my heart and make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Maybe you're sitting at the breakfast table today. Maybe you're looking down at that first, second, or third cup of coffee. Maybe you're looking down at that breakfast. I would that you just call out to God and say, as that publican did when he went up to the temple to pray, and say, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. We then, as workers together, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored or helped thee or brought help to you. Behold, look at here. Now is the accepted time. Right now is the accepted time. Behold, look at here. Now is the day of salvation. Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2. Prophet Isaiah said, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from him, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear you. Behold the Lord's hand. Looky here. God said, I want you to see my hand. It's not short that he cannot save. My ear's not heavy that he cannot hear. But wait a minute. There's coming a time. God said, I'll not always strive with man. There's coming a time that God's hand's going to be taken away. And his ear's not going to be open under your cry. Why? Because your iniquities have separated you from him. And your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear you. You may call on God. You may call on God and cry and weep, and neighbors shed many bitter tears. But yet the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, 17, for Esau wanting to inherit the blessing, the Bible said he was rejected. You may be rejected tomorrow. God's dealing with you today. God's dealing with you right now. You may say, I'll put it off until tomorrow. You may be rejected tomorrow. You may call on God tomorrow, but God may not be there. You may call on God next week, but God may not be there. You may call on God this evening and God may not be there. You may call on God whenever you get ready to go to bed tonight, but God may not be there. You may wait till you're in a hospital bed dying of some neighbor, some disease that doctors can't do anything about. And you may feel like you need to call on God then, but you may be rejected of God when you wait too late. Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 23. The word of God said, turn ye at my... Here's what God said. God said, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make my... And I will make known my words unto you. What did God say there in Proverbs 1, 23? He said, turn ye at my reproof. Turn and listen to what I say. He said, behold, look here, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. God said, I'm calling out, and I want you to turn around, and I want you to quit going the way that you're going, and I want you to do as the way. He said, I will pour, he said, if you'll turn around, turn at my reproof. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. God said, I want you to turn right now. God said, I want you to turn at my reproof right now, because I am, present tense, making my words known unto you today. But verse 24, he said, because I have called. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. God said, I've called you and I've stretched forth my hand. And you would not regard that which I said unto you. You never tried to reach out and grab my hand, God said. God said, I've reached out to you and I've been reaching out to you. But you turned a deaf ear to what I've had to say. And you've not reached out to me because I have called and you refused. I've stretched forth my hand and no man regarded. You wouldn't pay no attention. You wouldn't have anything to do with it, God said. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. God said, I've tried to counsel with you, and you've considered it as zero. You said it not, all my counsel, and you would none of my reproof. God said, I've called you, and I've reached out, and you've said no, and I've called you, and I've reached out, and you've said no, and I've called you, and I've reached out, and you've said no, and I've sent and I've poured out my spirit unto you, and I've made my words known unto you, and I've called out, and I've reached out, and you've said no, and you said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. But verse number 26, he said, here's where you're at, maybe 30 minutes from now. Here's where you may be 60 minutes from now. Here's where you may be 15 minutes from now. If you don't cry out to God, if you don't reach out to God, if you don't listen to the reproof and the teaching of God, here's where you may be this time tomorrow. Here's where you may be this time next week. Here's where you may be when you're laying on your deathbed. Verse 26, God said, I also will laugh at your calamity. God said, I'll mock when your fear cometh. He said, I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. God said, you may laugh at me today and you may make fun of me today. Some of you listen to me today, you've laughed and you've made fun of God. You've laughed about hell and you've made jokes about hell. And you've told everybody to go there. And I won't serve notice on you today that hell's an awful place, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the fire's not quenched and the worm dieth not. That place called hell is where the rich man died, and in hell, the Bible said, he lift, present tense, his eyes, being in torments. You've made slight of that place called hell, and you've joked around about that place called hell. And you've told a lot of people to go there. God said, I'll laugh at your calamity. God said, I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. God said, there's coming a time when you're going to be afraid. God said, there's going to be a time when destruction's going to come upon you. God said, there's coming a time when you're going to be in distress and you're going to be in anguish and you're going to be wrecked in pain. And verse 28 said, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. And they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. God said, there's coming a time when you're going to call on him. He said, but I'll not answer. Esau called upon the Father, but the Father wouldn't answer him the way he wanted him to. You hear me today. The Word of God said there in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, as we quoted you before, we then as workers together with him, with God, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, look here, now's the accepted time. Behold, look here, now is the day of salvation. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, the word of God said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." That means death. "For he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." God said, verse number 28, Proverbs 1:28, God said, "They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. God said, they shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." You'll call on him, but he won't answer you. You're going to look for him, but you're not going to be able to find him. Why? Because verse 29 said, "For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." What did Paul say there in Galatians 6, 7, and 8? "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever the man soweth, that shall he also... Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh also reap corruption." That means death. You're going to die. "For he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." God said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." God said, "Don't receive the grace of God in vain." Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28 says, "They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord and would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their way and be filled with their own devices." Verse number 33 says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Neighbor, I would that you hearken unto God today. I would that you call unto God today. Father, I pray that those listening today would call unto you today. Lord, seek your face and seek your will. Repent of their sin and by faith, Lord, reach out and trust you, Lord, as their personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didascalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.